Coming to you from the Grey Moon Studios just outside Atlanta, Georgia, for a third season. This is Trice Talk, a conservative political and social issue podcast that's not just for conservatives. We don't try to tell you what to think. We just want to see if you're paying attention. For the next hour and a half, we hope to stimulate, motivate, aggravate, and enlighten you. Now, here's your host, a guy that's been paying attention since Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 79, Grey Moon himself, Donald Wayne.
Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Donald Wayne, for this Thursday night episode of Trice Talk, January the 12th, 2023. I don't know. Did y'all notice anything weird about the intro there a minute ago? It almost sounded like the tape was being impeded there in the beginning. That's something that's loaded onto Podbeam there. So that's the first time I've noticed that since I've started using it here, but I think it stopped, but this is, I don't know. I caught something there weird. Let me know if you picked up on the same thing.
Dennis Lee, a dynamic father and son duo.
Well, and of course we've got that guy. I got distracted by the mess up with the tape there. So I forgot to tell the guys not to come in and do their little thing. Anyway, it was quite an afternoon here in the Atlanta area, Georgia area. Storms coming across, pretty much everybody south of the Mason-Dixon line. And I don't know if any of you are old enough to know what the Mason-Dixon line is. Surely there is somebody out there somewhere. But yeah, the storms came across. And this afternoon, I don't know, it seemed like between 3:30, 4 o'clock is when they really started approaching Georgia from Alabama. And there was a number of tornadoes, touchdowns across southern Alabama and into Georgia, south of pretty much Macon, I guess it is. So it was, you know, some bad weather here for January. You don't really think about January being a month for severe storms and tornadoes and such, but it seems like, I don't know, it's like we turned the world upside down, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Because every year now, it seems like after Christmas, sometime in January, we get such warm weather that it eventually causes these kind of storms, because when the cold air comes back down again, that's what we get. But you'd think when winter comes that it would just be winter for 3 or 4 months, and then you would, you know, move into spring. But no, not here, not in the South. But anyway, I hope those of you that were in the path of the storm, I did not hear any fatalities, which is a good thing, but there was considerable damage in a number of areas. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to those who may have been affected by those storms this afternoon. But, you know, with the cold weather coming back, I also noticed that up in the mountains of North Carolina that borders with Tennessee, they're talking about blizzard conditions up there. Although I can't see any snow or anything on the radar, but that's what they're predicting. So I think we have one or two ski areas up there in those mountains that border between North Carolina and Tennessee. So maybe ski enthusiasts will be excited about that if they've got some snow that they can go up there. I think it's somewhere, Gatlinburg, I believe, is a ski area. Well, that's on the Tennessee side, but some people may be happy about that. I want to start out tonight. Now, I guess I should mention this. I was going to do live tonight. Was not able to get everything that I needed for the story that I want to do on illegal immigration and the effect that it is having on the economy and taxpayers. So I kind of pushed that back. So therefore, I'm not doing live tonight. I'm just doing another semi-short show and just talk about two or three things that I noticed today that kind of make me scratch my head and wonder, really? But this first story, I just heard it about this morning. I saw it on Fox News. I think it was before, let's see. I'm not quite sure which show it was. I didn't make a note of that. But anyway, I saw it on Fox News this morning. I did not see it on the early show that it came on. I think it aired on Fox and Friends first. I don't start watching it that early in the morning. But that's when the story first aired today, and then it got repeated by a number of people that came after. I think Harris Faulkner is the one that I saw it on, actually. But anyway, story goes that there's apparently many of the migrants that are being housed in a nice hotel in New York City are refusing to eat the food that is being provided by the city. Therefore, most of it is being thrown in the trash. Now, I saw that earlier today when, and of course, you know, some people were making jokes out of it, like, you know, it was the wrong kind of food, you know, they're giving them sandwiches and other kinds of, I think, hot plate kind of food stuff, and not all cold cuts and all that. But the pictures they would show of the things that were being thrown away were, you know, a lot of sandwiches were being thrown away. And hopefully they weren't spam sandwiches. I don't know how many people still eat spam, although I see it in the grocery store all the time. But yeah, so these people are apparently throwing a lot of these immigrants that are being housed in what used to be a nice hotel, are just throwing stuff away, refusing to eat it. They don't want it. I don't know what they're eating instead. Somebody mentioned that, well, I think they may be cooking their own food. Well, where are they getting the stuff to cook? Somebody's got to be giving them that. But so anyway, this story surfaced when a hotel staffer sounded the alarm on how the illegal immigrants were trashing this once luxury hotel and making a mess of everything. And plus carrying on some questionable activities in the hotel during the day and night there. So, and I'm going to play the tape in just a minute. I think I can pull that up here and play it for you. And it's, I don't know, you know, there's so many people that are hungry in this country. There's so many people that are homeless in this country. And that's a whole nother thing that I really would be talking about when I talk about illegal immigration. But just the fact that number one, that these people would have the audacity to throw good food away. I mean, if you're hungry, if you're truly hungry and you don't have the means to take care of yourself, you know, you really ought to be pretty much willing to eat whatever people can provide for you, that it is an edible thing in the first place. I mean, there are some things I wouldn't eat, even if I was starving, if somebody, that's what they were giving me, but you know, the basics, no. Sandwiches, you know, just, so it makes you wonder how hungry are they really, if they're not willing to eat the stuff that people are giving them. But anyway, Felipe Rodriguez, is the employee, the staffer, if you will, that, he was on Fox and Friends first this morning, and he discussed how the migrants have trashed the rooms and wasted food. So and he's also concerned about some of the conduct that's going on in this hotel that he's afraid is going to basically branch out into the streets of New York and put New Yorkers in danger. So let me see if I can pull this clip up and switch over without doing anything funky. I'm still trying to figure some of these things out, so bear with me for a second here. Oop, I think I got that. Now if I can play the silly thing. It's about a little over 5 minutes long. I'm probably going to play all of it because he mentions several things and he kind of gets off track for a second. But let's listen to this and hopefully you haven't already heard it. Okay. I think if you can understand him, Felipe kind of laid it out pretty well. It's not just the fact that they're rejecting all this free food that is being delivered to them and somebody's paying for. And I imagine there's somebody's going to be. Some organizations, some maybe some restaurants, some there's some entity that's got to be making money on this food that's being given to these people that in turn is being wasted, thrown away. You would think, well, there's a whole lot wrong with this story. I find it hard to believe that they could take over. Now, Felipe said that they sold the hotel. That's kind of curious. I mean, a 1,000-room hotel got sold to who? So if it's the government, is it the city government of New York City, or is it the federal government? I mean, who did the hotel get sold to? And are those people making money basically off the taxpayers for providing these rooms for these people? There's a lot of questions that get raised in my mind listening to what Felipe had to say there. And I'm hoping that some people will look into that and give us some more information about how this is going down. This should outrage people. It should absolutely outrage people. And I guess I could be talking about this with the illegal immigration segment that I want to do, but I saw this morning and I'm just thinking, number one, how do you turn over a whole hotel like that to, you obviously can't put these people in, mix them in with Americans who go in there and pay for the rooms and maybe have their families with them and so forth, because it's not going to work. I imagine people, I know that's been happening in some other cities where they try to let them have vacant rooms. I think that was an issue last year. Well, we'll put, you know, all these hotels that have vacant rooms, they have to report them to some city agencies so they in turn can decide how many of these illegal immigrants that they can put into these vacant rooms so they don't go vacant for the night. And a lot of the hotels are pushing back and not really wanting to report vacant rooms because they didn't want to have to deal with these illegals coming into these rooms, sharing the same hotel space with, you know, regular customers that pay in many times good rates for staying in these rooms. If you're paying $300 or $400 or more, or even if you pay $200 for a room, hey, if I pay $99 for a room, I want my conditions to be right, okay? But apparently that's not what's happening. And again, I'd like to know who owns that hotel now. They say they sold it. Who did they sell it to? And who's making money off of this hotel? And if they're making money, they're making it off the American taxpayers, which, you know, we got enough people stealing our money in this country. Folks, we need, you know, I don't know about you, but every time they have discussions about whether taxes should be raised, they talk about, well, we're only going to raise taxes on the rich. Or the top 10% or the top 1% or whatever that they want to raise taxes on. Think about all the money that gets wasted every year. Think about all the money that they wasted and let be stolen basically from the federal government on the COVID issues, money that was being sent out to people during the highlight of that catastrophe in our country. And a lot of people were scamming the system and getting money that they shouldn't have gotten. And we're talking about millions of dollars. And the federal government just looks at it like it's no big deal. You know why? Because they don't have to earn the damn money because they take it from us. So if you don't have a vested interest in earning money that's being used for things that are wasteful, why do you care? It's not your money. Not your money. So this whole thing pisses me off. That you would have, number one, somebody making money off putting these people in these rooms. And, you know, Felipe said that it used to be a real nice hotel in New York City. I don't know where it's located. I may look that up. But it's just amazing to me that that somebody could do that. And I almost believe that if they did, and they're, let's say they're selling these rooms to the federal government or some government entity there in New York City, somebody's making money off of it. And I'd like to know who. And also with the wasteful food, there's so many hungry people in this country. There's so many homeless people in this country. And that was a point that somebody else raised on a different article. You know, the federal government is pushing all of these buttons to get these illegals into hotels around the country and putting them in places that are off the street now, the elements. Yet we have thousands, hundreds of thousands of homeless people in this country that sleep on the street every day in tents. And a lot of city governments are allowing that to continue to happen in their cities. So, you know, why aren't we putting these people in tents? If you think it's okay for American citizens who are homeless and homeless veterans to live in tents or cardboard boxes, why do these people who come into our country illegally get to stay in a heated and air-conditioned hotel and have food pushed towards them, which they don't want? They don't like it because it's not what they want. I bet if you took those sandwiches to a lot of homeless people, San Francisco and Los Angeles and Atlanta and even New York City, and offered them, I dare say very few people would probably throw them in the trash. So that in itself is a slap in the face to American taxpayers. All right. Anyway, if you want to see that video so you can see the pictures of the food and trash bags, all the sandwiches that went into a trash bag and stuff, you can go on to the foxnews.com and look at, should be able to look it up, homeless. Let's see, how is it? Oops, I lost it. Okay. Well, you should be able to find it. Food being thrown away by homeless, by illegal immigrants in New York City hotels. And that's the thing. The article talks about hotels, but it doesn't name any other hotels. So obviously there's more than one location where this may be happening in New York City. It's crazy. All right, now, the next thing I want to just talk about for a minute, I think I mentioned this in the last episode that I posted, that I'm not really a fan of Kevin McCarthy's. And this is when the votes are being taken to decide, you know, who's going to be the Speaker of the House. What'd they go? I think to 15 votes. They had to do voting 15 times, but finally, they got enough votes to let Kevin McCarthy. And so now they're this week they've gotten down to business. But anyway, I expressed the fact that I wasn't a big fan of Kevin McCarthy's just for a number of reasons. And I don't have a lot of factual stuff that I could tell you, you know, quote things that I think he's responsible for, or things that he didn't do that makes me not crazy about him. Although I have heard some conservative talk show hosts that I kind of respect their opinions on things. One, Erickson here in Atlanta. He's on WSB out of here in Atlanta, but I think he actually does a show from Macon, Georgia. I believe. I don't I don't think he comes to the studio in Atlanta, but anyway, Eric Erickson, and he is syndicated on a lot of markets across the country. He kind of took over the Rush Limbaugh time slot in the afternoon from 12 to 3. And it's funny, when I first started listening to him, gosh, I guess it was around 2013 or 14. He was just on WSB in the afternoon. He would come on at 5 o'clock, and I think he was on from 5 to 6 or 5 to 7, something like that. But anybody who has that time slot in Atlanta, they always break in for the traffic reports, and it's like every 5 or 10 minutes they break in. So when he was on in that time slot in Atlanta years ago, I mean, he got interrupted so many times. But I think they finally bumped him up to, gave him up to 4 o'clock, just kind of bumped Sean Hannity out and recorded his. But Eric Erickson is somebody that, he's been in the business, politics for a number of years, and I agree with him on a lot of things, or I respect his opinion about a lot of things, but he wasn't very supportive of Kevin McCarthy. He felt like that there should be somebody else there that would make a better Speaker of the House than Kevin McCarthy. But then again, if there was no one else that could garner enough votes to, you know, more so than Kevin McCarthy, then we needed to get down to business and get Kevin McCarthy elected, or we can't do anything except tell our congressman, you know, that this is who you need to vote for. Let's get this over with so we can start legislating. Anyway, long story short, not a big fan. And I've listened to some people that would give some reasons here and there. And they would say, basically, he's not really a conservative. He hasn't voted like a conservative on a lot of things that he's done since he's been in the House. But today, I saw him in a press conference, and I don't know that it was a formal press conference. It obviously had to be planned to some extent, but he was not at a podium. He was in walking the halls of the House, I guess, or he was in one of the rooms, open rooms or something. I really don't know where he was. It didn't really say, but he wasn't at a podium. So it wasn't something, a staged event like that, but he had a number of reporters there. Didn't get to see any of them, but we could hear, them ask him questions. And, I have to admit, I was kind of impressed with him today. I liked his answers. I thought he was direct. I don't think he really avoided anybody's question. I think there may have been one question I didn't think that he answered the question that was asked to him, because he kind of segued into something else. And I always get irritated, even when people that I like to listen to, like talk show hosts, I hate it when you ask a question, or they get asked a question, and they never really answer the question. They seem to find a way to ease into something else that I guess they think it takes people's mind off what the original question was. But I think Kevin McCarthy did a good job of answering the questions today. And I like the things that he said. I like the way that he said it. I was surprised, but I'm happy, because we need him to be what we need there in the House. We need Kevin McCarthy to be a better leader than what we've had in the past, especially better than John Boehner. We need somebody with some guts. We need somebody with some cojones, if you will, that are not just about, well, I don't want to piss anybody off, or I don't want to look bad, you know. Be respectful, but don't take any crap. And I think that's the way he conducted himself today. So whether you agree with everything that he and the fellow Republicans are trying to accomplish in the House for the people that put them there, I just think we need someone like, or we need someone to carry themselves and perform like he did today. I mean, he pushed back on several of the reporters because they wanted to, it's like they were trying to bait him, especially issues about Donald Trump and trying to compare Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago issue with the documents down there and saying that that was worse than Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the documents that they found that he had. And I think he handled it well. I think he handled it well and pushed back. And not so much that he was defending Donald Trump, but he was comparing the situations and saying, how can this be important to you here, but this isn't that important to you here? It's the same thing, folks, except, and I heard this today, I don't know whether it's a fact or not, but I heard this today, that as vice president, Joe Biden didn't have the right to remove any classified documents from the White House because he does not have the ability to declassify confidential documents, or classified documents. So, you know, if that's true, then in that sense, then there is a big difference in what occurred with Joe Biden and what occurred with Donald Trump. And I think what they did, the math today, and Biden has had to have these documents for 6 years now. I was a little bit pissed about the fact that they found the first batch, you know, several days before the midterm elections. Although I'll have to say, I can't imagine, you know, what difference that would have made with anybody in the election, because as we have seen over the past 6 years, a large segment of the population in this country really don't seem to care what Democrats do and how they conduct themselves and what rules they break, because this happened time and time again on a number of issues. And a lot of this came out during the COVID issues as well, with the number of Democrats that would, you know, put these restrictions in place for the general public, and then they would be caught breaking those rules themselves. Anybody that doesn't think there's not a double standard in this country, they're fooling themselves. They're fooling themselves. Also, some of the reporters were questioning some of the priorities, some of the things that the Republicans have done first on their agenda, which I think the first thing they did was defund or rescind whatever that, I don't know that it was a bill, but about hiring those extra IRS agents. Maybe they just defunded it, but whatever. That was the number one on the list, and several of the reporters seemed to think that, well, you know, y'all consider that the most important thing that needs to be done in this country. Well, hey, let's remind everybody what Democrats have thought were a priority since they took over the House back in, what was it, 2018? I guess 2019, because the election would have been in 2018. So Trump had 17, 18 with a Congress that was useless to him. And then the Democrats took over the House. I think it started in 2019. And all they've worked on for those 2 years, plus the first 2 years of Biden, Biden's administration, is impeaching Trump or working on investigations of Donald Trump. Now, they have done some other things. They spent billions of dollars. That was their focus, putting bills out there that spend money that we don't have. Some of it probably is justifiable. I'm not going to get into that here because there's so many different facets of that, but there was a lot of money spent. And I talked about this with this omnibus bill that they just passed in December. Of all the crap that's in that thing, I think another thing, they spent a lot of time so far this week on setting up rules, the rules committee, and so they can establish a certain set of rules, how they're going to conduct business in the House. And of course, a lot of Democrats aren't happy with the way some of the rules have come down. But, you know, and Joe Biden was actually, he had a press conference this morning and he was making fun or poking at Republicans and Kevin McCarthy for the things that they seemed to focus on in the beginning. But, you know, Democrats have been working on Donald Trump. That's priority one for them for the past 4 years. The last 2 years, they've also focused heavily on January 6th. No telling how many millions of dollars were spent on that work. And one thing also Kevin McCarthy said today that encouraged me, I'm hoping he can do it, and that's release all of the tapes available that were the tapes from the Capitol building on January 6th. I don't know how many cameras were in there, but they're obviously everywhere. And we've heard for months that Nancy Pelosi did not see fit to allow the American public to see all of the tapes that they were able to see. I never did hear anybody say, well, it was a matter of national security. She just made the determination, we're not going to make these available to the American public. And we don't scream and jump up and down and say, why not? Why not? What are we going to see? There's nothing to hide. That's always been my philosophy and philosophy of reasonable people. If you have nothing to hide, then why do you not want to share things that could help ease people's minds about subjects? So then it, you know, in the absence of information, we make up stuff, right? If people won't share information with you to help you see clearly what the actual circumstances were, then we're going, this is where you get conspiracy theories. This is where you get people making up shit because nobody's going to give them the facts. Nobody's going to share with them everything that they could possibly share to show people, well, this is really what happened. And like I said, they've never said, well, that's a matter of national security. So Kevin McCarthy, in responding to one reporter who asked the question, said, yes, we're going to be working to make all of those tapes available to the American people, the American public, so they can really see, or at least see more evidence of what occurred there than what have been shared with them so far. Let's see. What else was he talking about? You know, Joe Biden said today in his little press conference where he was pushing back against the Republicans, saying, well, I want to work with them, but, you know, I think it's one of those moments where he leaned into the microphone and again said, I'm not going to pass it. I'm not going to sign it. You know, one of those creepy ass things that he does out of the blue. Somebody must have told him, you know, you've got to put a little inflection in your voice. You need to change your voice a little bit every once in a while Mr. President, because, you know, you're putting people to sleep. So the president's already saying, well, you send me stuff that I don't like, I'm not going to sign it, which is his prerogative. And since, you know, it's going to be Republican-led legislation going to a Democrat president, you pretty much expect him not to sign it or to veto it. But you've got to create the bills, you've got to send them to him, and you got to put him on notice that, and so the American people see, we sent this there and this president refused to sign it, or we sent it up to the Senate and the Senate refused to go along with it. And if it's something worthwhile and something that the country needs, then the American people can judge who works for the people and who doesn't. So I'm still a little skeptical of McCarthy in the long run. I mean, this is only the first week, and we got a long way to go, folks. We got 2 years, although it goes by rather quickly. Of course, with Biden president, it can't go by fast enough, but let's see how he holds up. But if he continues at the same pace he was today and talks like he does, and he's not just blowing smoke up our butt, then I think we may have a fighter here. We may have somebody that'll help us get some stuff done. Then now all we got to do in 2 years, we've got to get a Republican president back in office. And I'm going to say this now, and there may be a lot of you who will disagree, or I might piss you off, but I don't want it to be Donald Trump. And the reason I don't want it to be Donald Trump is because I don't think there's any point in putting him back in there, because there's already too much baggage. To discount a lot of people in our own party and a lot of independents. I just think it would do more damage to us to try to push him back in that job again. I just don't see the benefit to it. There's other people in the pipeline that could be Trump-esque, but not have quite an edge to where, and not so much baggage that people can just constantly keep Washington, D.C. in turmoil, trying to get them on something. But we do need a Republican candidate with a spine like DeSantis. I don't know a lot more about as far as how much DeSantis would be qualified to be president or not, but somebody who has had the guts to stand out or stand up and push back against every liberal nut job policy that they've tried to initiate there in Florida, push back against liberals, you know, trying to interfere in the schools and put certain sex education kind of stuff in schools. I don't know if it's really considered to be sex education or not, actually, but there's just been a lot of things that he's had the guts to push back on that we can conservatives support. Another one, not really sure. Some people have mentioned Brian Kemp here from Georgia. Brian Kemp reminds me a lot of a George Bush, which I voted for George Bush, obviously. I was disappointed in George Bush. I think he didn't have the fighting spirit. I think he was too much of a politician, or maybe he listened to the wrong advisors. Maybe he listened to Dick Cheney too much. I don't know. But So I'm not real sure. And I don't think I've heard a lot of people talk about him running, but you know, he's another one of those in a state that has pushed back against, against liberals on a lot of things, especially, Stacey Abrams and her, her claims that, that Georgia voting laws are racist. You know, I saw, what did I see Stacey Abrams on? Golly, where did I see? She was being interviewed. I don't think it was The View. Somebody was interviewing Stacey Abrams. Anyway, it could have been on CNN or something, or MSNBC. Anyway, Stacey said, she alluded to the fact that, you know, she's not done and she may try again. She didn't say specifically Georgia running for governor again, but she said, you know, I'm considering trying again. So, you know, I guess we're not, I was hoping that she had finally decided that maybe, serving in a political office is not going to be in her future. Maybe she should just stay on the sidelines and help raise money and protest and try to shut things down that cost people lots of money. But, you know, she may be out there running again. You know, Kemp can't run again. So I don't know who the Republican candidate's going to be that can step up. But Stacey may try after Kemp is out of the picture. So McCarthy, let's hope that he works out. I mean, he's in there. We need him. And I hope this one representative rule where one representative can ask for a vote of no confidence against the speaker, because I'm sure all the Democrats would vote no confidence against Kevin McCarthy. I say that. I mean, I'm hoping that there's some reasonable people in the House of Representatives on the Democrat side that realize that some of this stuff that liberals have pushed for the last 4 years are just totally insane and are not in the best interest of the United States long term. But you never know. You never know. We'll see. But I'm slowly changing my opinion about Kevin McCarthy. Also, on another subject, probably my last subject for tonight, but I saw this article online this afternoon by Aubrey Spady. I think I'm saying that right. Hillary Vaughn and Kyle Morris of Fox News. And the title was "Democrat Suggest Classified Documents in Biden's Home Office May Have Been Planted After Second Batch Found." Well, why didn't Trump try to use that one down there in Mar-a-Lago? First of all, with just reading the title, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, aren't all of Biden's residences secured by the Secret Service? Of course, so was Mar-a-Lago, but the Secret Service at Mar-a-Lago allowed the FBI to come in. You would think that Secret Service would have precedence over or authority over the FBI, but I don't know. I guess if they were serving a warrant, I guess they had to step aside. But anyway, aren't all of the residents secured? I mean, there's got to be somebody there when Biden's not there just to protect. Otherwise, you know, you'd be open to all kinds of bad things. So there's got to be somebody there. So if something was planted in that particular garage that this article is about, then there would have to be some compliance on the Secret Service people that are guarding the residence. At least that's the way I see it. So anyway. So that article talks about this, and it was initiated by a Democrat representative, Hank Johnson of good old Georgia on my mind. So it's his opinion, and he was quoted as telling Hillary Vaughn He quotes, or the quote is, alleged classified documents showing up allegedly in the possession of Joseph Biden. I'm suspicious of the timing of it. This was after a second batch of documents were found in the president's garage in Wilmington, Delaware. He continued by saying, I'm also aware of the fact that things can be planted on people. Things can be planted in places and then discovered conveniently. That may be what has occurred here, but I'm not ruling that out. I'm open in terms of the investigation needs to be investigated. I mean, that's what it says in the article, but I'm open in the terms of the investigation needs to be investigated. Okay. Could be a typo. Obviously, Hank Johnson didn't hear the press conference today of Joe Biden earlier, where he said, or he admitted that he knew there were documents in his Wilmington garage with his Corvette and they were locked up. Of course, he read that statement. Anybody see that press conference? I mean, I make notes because when I try to talk about a lot of different things, I have to make notes because I can't recall everything as quickly as I would like to sometimes. And so if I don't make notes on things, then I'll just be blank. And I still get blank sometimes, even with notes. But here's the president of the United States who's supposed to be a smarter man than me. And he's been in politics pretty much all of his adult life. Yet he can't make a statement on anything. If you ask me something about something that I've done, I can probably give you an answer without having to have it written down for me. Now, I understand the wording sometimes about certain things. You have to be careful about not admitting to something that you might get in trouble for, or how you express. You dance around the issue, I should say. But, I mean, he read the damn thing. He answered the question, but he read it. And it was amazing to me that the president of the United States can't think off the cuff and answer a question as simple as that. And I think if Donald Trump were doing that, or if George Bush had to do that, I think there would have been constant chatter about that one thing all the time. That the president of the United States has to have everything written out for him. He can't answer a simple question without having some note in front of him. That's what would people be talking about. So he had documents in his Wilmington garage with his Corvette. I'm assuming there's people that are guarding this. I mean, why wouldn't there be Secret Service there? How could somebody get in there to plant anything unless a Secret Service agent was involved? But when Hank Johnson heard that Merrick Garland had been appointed a special counsel to look into the document situation, he also added this statement. It is refreshing to see the Department of Justice restored from its politicization during the Trump years. And I applaud Attorney General Garland for acting swiftly in appointing the special counsel. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The politicization during the Trump years. I don't remember Donald Trump sending FBI agents or directing his attorney general to have FBI agents raid anybody, any of his opponents or people that didn't like him or spoke badly of him or whatever during his 4 years in office. I don't remember it now. If it happened, somebody needs to contact me and tell me, oh, no, you're wrong about that. But so I don't, you know, he did talk a lot about Joe Biden, and he did talk about Hunter Biden, and there was a lot of effort to try to get something done about the Hunter Biden laptop and the issues with Ukraine and China. But he didn't weaponize the FBI or any other federal agency to go and raid people and detain people for the purpose of trying to get them on something just because they opposed the sitting president. So I don't know what Hank is talking about. I mean, ever since the Democrats have been in charge, it's been nothing but going after people, going after groups, going after parents, going after people who were just there in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th, 2021, just peacefully protesting. But if they were anywhere near the Capitol building, or they were invited in by or coaxed in by someone else, and all they did was wander around, these people have been persecuted, and there's some people that needed to be charged and some people that should spend time in prison for certain acts that were committed that day. But then there was a lot of innocent people that should not have been. And a lot of people's lives have been ruined. Of course, if I had been in Washington, D.C., you couldn't have coaxed me into the Capitol building with money, because I know better. One, I want to keep my distance from anybody that's doing some of the crap that they were doing that day, some of the bad people were doing that day. I know better. But sometimes people in the heat of whatever's going on at the moment really don't think clearly. And they don't look down the road. At the consequences of their actions or what they could be. Anyway, Hank said that the politicization is not there now with Joe Biden like it was with Donald Trump. But Hank still had to make a comparison from Biden to Donald Trump by saying, based on what we know, there is a big difference between the Trump and Biden document cases. Well, he got that part right, but probably not in the way he meant it. Johnson, like that idiot Adam Schiff, and I swear, I hope that Adam Schiff is not on any committee. I hope he becomes somebody that's just radioactive that nobody wants to touch in the House. But Adam came out and somebody caught him and he commented again, well, this is the same thing. What Donald Trump did was worse. And, you know, it was clearly obstruction of justice and da 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 da. Same old shit that he's been talking about, for 6 years. Adam Schiff. And it's evident to everybody. And there's been plenty of tapes, especially when he was trying eagerness to get Donald Trump on that Russian tape thing that was out a number of years ago, where he was talking supposedly to a Russian agent about things that Donald Trump supposedly did when he was in Moscow or in Russia. I guess it was in Moscow. It's Adam Schiff is a joke. He's not the only one, but he's a joke. But they think that the Trump case was worse with his documents. I also saw an article, and I thought there was a little bit of audio with it, and I was going to use it. But Joy Behar on The View apparently had a similar opinion to Hank Johnson and Adam Schiff and many others. But who in the hell cares what Joy Behar thinks anyway? But I'll have to say, I think the tape was only about a minute long or less, and it really wasn't worth me trying to play it for you, but actually, Whoopi surprised me because Joy was started talking about, well, you know, that possibility that was planted. The Republicans, you know, they would like to plant stuff on Joe Biden. Now, I'm kind of fluffing that up a little bit. Okay, that's not exactly what she said, but she did the fact that she thought that there is a reason to believe that Republicans could have planted that. And Whoopi said, well, you know, I might have been tended to believe that in the beginning, but now with this second thing coming up, I don't think so. And I wanted to stand up and cheer. I wanted to send Whoopi an email and say, well, at least you haven't just lost every nut and bolt in your head like I thought you had. You can still be objective. Because I remember Whoopi Goldberg being on Sean Hannity show. It may have been while Donald Trump was president, or it could have been before he got elected. But she was actually not so crazy sounding, not so liberal-esque sounding. I mean, she's always been a Democrat and radical in a number of issues. But it was hopeful because they had a good conversation and they seemed to like each other. And I've always liked Whoopi and some of the movies that she did. My favorite is Jumpin' Jack Flash, but some people liked her better in Sister Act. Anyway, so Whoopi jumped in there and said, well, I don't know. This whole planning thing. Please, people, don't go nuts with this. Republicans are planning evidence, because then if you're going to go that route, then you got to. Why is it that Democrats are the only ones that can have conspiracy theories and they don't get criticized for? I mean, the moment that Republicans think that maybe there was something fishy about what occurred, all hell breaks loose and everybody, you know, wants to jump on them. But, you know, if a Democrat talks conspiracy theory, it's okay. I'm doing a Joe Biden, leaning into the microphone saying, it's okay. No, I don't want to be doing a Joe Biden. All right. So that's going to do it for this episode. Like I say, you can also, I think you can find that one on Fox to the Hank, the Hank Johnson quotes and so forth. I think there's a little film clip of him saying some of that too. I couldn't open it. So if you'd like to look at any of that, these may seem like little things, but there's so much wrong with what's going on in Washington right now. We need to pay attention to the little things, because all the little things are just symptoms of a larger problem in this country. And that's that there's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that are trying to convince the American people that we need to let them handle everything and trust them to do the right thing for us, while they line their pockets with hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in some case, by cozying up to people with a lot of money and funneling projects in their direction. And these people want to tell us how to live. And they want to tell us to what degree we can, what degree of how well we can live, and take as much of our money as they can without making us revolt, while they live high off the hog on their money, on our money. Their money. They don't have any money. It's all our money, folks. It's all our money. So I think we need to pay attention to the little stuff along with the big things too, because it all adds up. Everything is a symptom of what's wrong. and maybe we can fix some of the little stuff. Maybe we can stop the people that are abusing the little things and work our way up the ladder. But we got to start doing something. We got to make an effort to change these things that they've gotten away with for so long, or it's going to get to a point that it's too big for us to do anything about it. And I think that's what they're looking for. I think that's what they're hoping for. The ones who want the control. Remember, they work for us. We don't work for them. We didn't put them in office to be our conscience or our guide. We put them in office to accomplish the things that we wanted done. We didn't vote for them to be advisors. We voted for them to go in there and vote for the things that we want, that were important to us in our communities. And that's it. Anyway, I appreciate you spending Barbara Ann. Anyway, you get tongue-tied every once in a while. I just put some chapstick on, and I think I may have put too much on there. But thanks for spending time listening to this podcast. If you did, hopefully I shared a few things with you tonight that will, if nothing else, be food for thought. After all, it's a sharing of ideas and information that help us make informed decisions in our lives. As always, I encourage you to do your own research about anything that I talk about. If I tell you an article and I give you a breakdown of what's in the article, I encourage you to go look up the article if you're interested in what I was talking about anyway, and see for yourself if what I told you is pretty much in line with what the article says. I will never intentionally mislead you on a story, but I always encourage you to check it out to make sure I got it right. If you like tonight's episode or any of the episodes that you listen to on about Trice Talk, please hit the like and follow button, like or follow button on your screen, if you will. I would certainly appreciate it. Also, if you like Trice Talk, I wish you would consider subscribing to this podcast. It's something that we never pushed in the past. I'm looking more towards that, this year, if possible, to get some people that, will subscribe to the podcast and give me the ability to do a few other things with it, upgrade some areas that I would like to do. So, if you feel like there's some value to it, I would certainly appreciate you subscribing. Also, be sure to check out Trice Talk on Facebook. The episodes post there. I haven't posted any pictures. I promise I'm going to post some pictures real soon that you may or may not like. Sometimes I'll put some stuff on there. I like to put our dog on there. And our dog is political. She's conservative. And has been known to wear some Trump, stuff in the past, but, she's kind of like, us. We're having to move on and do what's right for the party in the future. So we'll see what kind of, party stuff she wears in the near future. So I'll try to get some stuff on Facebook that may be interesting to you, besides being able to listen to the podcast itself on Facebook. Also, I'm on Twitter. I try to be on there several times a day and respond to other people's posts. Sometimes I'll create my own, but I generally like to retweet and post a comment with stuff because there's just so many issues to comment on. I try not to get involved in everything that's on Twitter because there's some people who say some crazy stuff on Twitter. I mean, absolutely. Sometimes I initially want to respond to something somebody said and I say, oh, wait a minute. Don't be suckered into that. Just let it go because you can't fix that person. You can't change that person's mind. If this is the way they really feel. Also, if you have friends or family that enjoy listening to podcasts, please tell them about TriStalk. I would appreciate that. And if you want to comment on any of the subjects presented on this podcast, please send me an email. You can send me an email about almost anything and I'll respond. It's tristalk69pts@gmail.com. That's tristalk69pts@gmail.com. So I'm going to stop saying the next one's going to be live because I'm not sure that I'll get the problems worked out by then, but, I'm going to continue doing the recorded ones until I can get a good result for the, to do the live podcast. And, I've just got several things I've got to get right before I can do that. But the next episode will be probably Sunday night, this coming Sunday night instead of Monday night, I think, which would be January the 15th, I believe. Yeah, I think it'd be January the 15th on Sunday night. I'll post on Podbeam here what the subject's going to be. So we'll just see. I'm not gonna promise the immigration thing yet. All right. I don't have a quote for tonight. Let's see. I did that one last time, so I don't have a quote for the night, so I'm just going to be able to say, I'm bringing up something here, so that's why I had to pause for a second. Last episode, I messed up somehow or another the closing song, you know, where I like to play I try to play just enough to give you something to hear at the end of the show, but yet not enough to where people like Apple or some of the other places we try to post the podcast won't take it because of copyright music issues. So somehow or another, like 20 or 30 seconds of the song had already gone on before it actually showed up. You could hear it on the podcast. So I apologize for that. I thought I did it right the week before, so I did something wrong last week. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get that ready to go. So let me go ahead and kick that in there, see how it plays. Make sure it's going to come in. It does. I think I did it. All right. Till next time, everybody. Please pay attention and get involved because we are the solution.